Christmas, everyone.
Thank you for coming to worship this morning. How wonderful it is to have a Christmas Day celebration and worship with all our strings and our soloists. And it's going to be just a wonderful time together. My sermon's going to be very different. I'm going to have sing four Christmas carols. And I will have my message based on the text of those Christmas carols. We're going to sing them from memory, just one verse of each one of those four Christmas carols. And I'll announce them as we get to them. And it'll be, I think, a great opportunity to delve into some of the significance of what we're singing about. I don't know about you, but always I think there's a tendency to sing something and not really understand or hear the words. And this way I'm going to expound on those words, and I think we'll have a deeper appreciation of those carols as a result. So we'll begin by having our prelude, which is our soloist, Anna Yeager, The Birthday of a King. Get a light off of there, too. Yeah. I'll take care of it. I'll get it with this. Thank you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, love from the beginning, word made flesh, breath of heaven. Amen. Let us confess our sinfulness before God and one another, trusting in God's endless mercy and love. Merciful God, we confess that we are not perfect. We have said and done things we regret. We have tried to earn your redeeming grace while denying it to others. We have resisted your call to be your voice in the world. Forgive us, loving God. Give us your righteousness, the strength to put aside our failures, and the courage to try again. Amen. Dear people of God, hear the good news. Christ the Savior is born. You are loved and forgiven in the name of Jesus, who has come among us. You are freed from proving that you deserve to be loved, because God's love is given to you as the most precious gift of all. Rejoice in this love and share it with the world. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. On earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconcile. Holy nations rise, triumph of the sky. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. All-powerful and unseen God, the coming of your light into the world has brightened weary hearts with peace. Call us out of darkness and empower us to proclaim the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Isaiah. Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have posted sentinels. All day and all night they shall never be silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest, and give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it renowned throughout the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his mighty arm, I will not again give your grain to be food for your enemies, and foreigners shall not drink the wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather it shall drink it in my holy courts. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stones. Lift up an ensign over the peoples. The Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. They shall be called thy holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
reading from Titus. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration. It was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was with child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of a great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. When I was actually a young boy, maybe even a teenager, I remarked to myself that I pray the Lord's Prayer mindlessly. I can zip through that prayer and not think a thing about what I just said. And so it was really a conscious thing while I was praying my prayers at night to pray the Lord's Prayer so that I thought about it. And so I used to slow it down and then I would inevitably keep going fast and have to go back again to pray the Lord's Prayer again. Because it's so easy when you get familiar with something not to understand or not to resonate with the beautiful words that are there and what you're actually doing. I used to say we used to say the Lord's Prayer rather than pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, today I want you to sing Christmas carols with an understanding that they have something to teach us. And the first song we're going to sing is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're just going to sing one verse from memory as best you can. Hark the Herald.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
My favorite phrase in that particular carol is, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. I think it's significant that the word reconciliation is that word that describes God's relationship to each other, to us with Him, and I believe also with each other. We tend to substitute the word forgiveness. And to me, forgiveness is too weak a term, at least how we use it. Oftentimes when we think of forgiving somebody, we think so from a distance, and it's a way to kind of get rid of the problem that we have with that particular person. But that's not true with reconciliation. Reconciliation means that there's actually some kind of an obvious way that we are being reconciled to each other, that we're coming into back into harmony with one another, that we're having peace with one another. And so it's much more of a difficult thing for us to do, but it's what God has offered us in this Christmas carol. Peace on earth, mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Coming together so that He is intimate with us. Not just forgiving us like from a distance, but offering reconciliation, a renewed relationship, a beautiful relationship, one that is based on what God has to offer through this Christ child now born in Bethlehem. So the next hymn we're going to sing is O Come All Ye Faithful, one verse. One word in that carol, repeated 15 times, come. We're asked to not just observe, but to come, to again engage. And to me, it's a definition of love. The Bible says that faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Because I think you can do faith from a distance, you can do hope from a distance, but you can't do love from a distance. Love requires engagement. It requires coming. It requires that we are a part of what's taking place. And so this carol tells us that to be faithful means to come. So in other words, to be faithful means to love. To love God and to love one another. The Bible says there's two kinds of important commands that God asks of us. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. That means coming to God, offering ourselves to Him, and then at the same time coming to one another. So that love that is presented has meat to it. It has power to it. It invites us. It's many times like the positive side of reconciliation. So on the one side, we're wanting to have reconciliation, forgiveness, which is more powerful. But we also want to add the positive to that, which is love. So we come to love and we come to experience the love that God has for us through Jesus born as a baby in Bethlehem. Let's sing next, Joy to the World. One verse.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
Don't you feel like you're Christmas caroling? You're trying, yeah, right. It's a lot like, we used to do a lot of Christmas caroling as a youth group, and I used to be a youth pastor for 30 of my 40 years. But on Christmas time, we did Christmas caroling. And I was always impressed that when we went to people's homes, they were so overjoyed to have someone sing these carols to us, because it was truly joyful. And I want to make a distinction today between happiness and joy. Happiness is a fleeting thing. Joy is a permanent thing. You can only be happy when things are going well, but you can be joyful even when things are going badly. And that's an important distinction because it adds teeth to joy. Joy is more permanent in our lives. It will always be with us. It'll be something that will constantly be a reminder to us. I remember once when we were doing Christmas caroling, we went to this Dorothy and Roy Monroe. And he invited us in after we were Christmas caroling at his door and served us cocoa and cider and cookies. And he had this little miniature train set. And the train set was something that he, every year, it took like 10 hours for him to put this little train set together. But it went through a village and it had a little choo-choo-choo and he was sharing his Christmas joy with us. And it was a permanent kind of thing. It wasn't something that was fleeting, but something that he wanted to share with us that would stay with us. And even when Roy Monroe died, I was thinking about how he must be on some kind of a little train set in heaven because that was where he really experienced joy. And it doesn't matter if you have to work for joy. You kind of draw back if you have to work for happiness because you don't want to have to take too much energy when it comes to being happy. But joy is something altogether different. It's one of my pet peeves of Christmas is that we tend to exchange gifts rather than give gifts. And it's unfortunate because I think true giving is a matter of not expecting anything in return. And that is where joy comes, not in the exchanging of gifts. You might be happy for a gift because the gift itself, but if you're going to exchange love with somebody, you almost have to surprise them. And I remember when my daughter was my oldest daughter was 44 now or 42. My parents asked what she wanted for Christmas, and she had no idea at the time, but he gave them this gift catalog and gave them a red marker. And pretty much she made the whole gift catalog a red marker kind of thing. She was pretty much wanting to hold the thing. But I can tell you that it wasn't the gift itself that was going to bring her joy. It was rather the love and the care that was behind the gift that would bring her joy. And so this Christmas, let's think about come to be faithful in the joy of the world that has come, because God doesn't give with expecting something in return, but truly gives so that we might receive His joy. So we're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain, and the verse, we'll sing a chorus, a verse, and the chorus. And the verse is, down in a lonely manger, the gentle Christ was born. So that's the verse we're going to do. I found that different places have different first verses. So down in a lonely manger, you'll be able to catch on then. Let's sing Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Down in a lonely manger,
the gentle Christ was born. And God sent us salvation, that gentlest if this morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Go tell it on the mountain. What does God require of us? God doesn't require us to be perfect people. God doesn't require of us that we are able to love as He loves with unconditionalness. God doesn't require that we even receive a power to do reconciliation in our lives. But God requires that we just speak and tell what He's offered us. It's a way to not only experience the joy of Christmas and the reconciliation of Christmas, but it's all a way to complete it. Because I always see that's the wonderful way to pass on what God has to offer is what Jesus wants of us and only thing that He requires of us. Because we might be the only person somebody might have for Christmas. My mom is in the hospital with spending her third hospital visit in during Christmas out of 4 years. But I can tell you that what's important to her is that we share that message. And so yesterday I prayed with her, and she's actually wanting to give up this life and go to the next. But at the same time, she realizes that the message that God provides is a message that we just need to share verbally. And when we share that message verbally, it's a great and lasting gift to everyone who's involved. It makes the gift so much more meaningful to us, and it shares it with others. May you go and tell the great message of Christmas to somebody who might need to hear that message, because it's a way for you to celebrate the Christmas that will be with you forever. Amen. Let's continue by singing Away in the Manger. It's our next hymn. Please stand.
Away in a manger for a bed, little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. Stars I love you, Lord Jesus. and bid us for heaven to live with thee there.